This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Another hour of your questions, 877-726-8255. That's 877-726-TALK. Plus, we got lots of health information to share with you. So we got a bunch of callers. We got one tied over from last hour. That's Marion from New Jersey. How you doing, Marion?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Dr. Hoffman. Again, as usual, thank you so much for being there for all of us.
My pleasure.
I had called a number of weeks ago, but I'm going to go over it real quick again because
sure.
This is a newer question. I've always recently, the last 10 years or so, had high cholesterol. But right now, I'm not on any medication. It is, total is 292, and the LDL is 140, but I'm the one who said the HDL is 141.
Okay.
So now my question is, my heart doctor is still insisting to go on Crestor, and I'm trying to convince him, let me experiment with Bergamot.
Okay,
but I'm
so hang tight. Before you, the question is not how you should lower your cholesterol. Indeed, your cholesterol is a little high. I mean, the total cholesterol is quite high. You have a very high HDL, which suggests that you might be protected. And your LDL is over 130, which is an action point for lowering cholesterol. I mean, that's when you play it by numbers. You know, that's the conventional way of treating cardiovascular diseases. You just look at the numbers. If it's above 130, boom, you're on a stat automatically. But the test, the clarifying test, and I probably shared that with you last time I talked to you, is something called the EBT heart scan. And you can easily obtain that. You're in New Jersey, so you might go over to Hackensack Hospital and obtain that test. It's relatively
expensive. And I did one about 2 years ago, and it was fine.
So then fine. Then, you know, you basically are fine. That your doctor, notwithstanding your doctor's concerns, you just bought yourself a 15-year warranty against cardiovascular disease, according to the latest studies. I mean, it's virtually impossible to have a heart attack or angina or a blockage for, you know, at least a decade or so, if you have a zero score, no matter what your cholesterol is. Now, let's assume that, you know, you want to kind of hedge your bets. You certainly don't need to be on a statin, in my opinion. But perhaps you want to take something natural, you know, no harm. You know, it's a safe, natural intervention. It's not going to cause side effects, and it might lower your cholesterol a little bit. And it certainly, even if it doesn't lower your cholesterol dramatically, it will also have a protective effect against your arterial walls. And you mentioned bergamot.
Mm-hmm.
And bergamot's one of my favorite things these days for lowering cholesterol, even more so than red yeast rice. Red yeast rice has a statin-like effect. And so, hey, if you decide not to use a statin, it kind of doesn't make sense to use a, quote, natural statin. I mean, it's a statin, so it's a little bit... I don't know. In some ways, it's kind of hypocritical to say, well, I don't want to take a drug, but I'm happy to take a supplement that is basically a plant-based statin. So you want to take something entirely different that somewhat lowers cholesterol, or in some cases dramatically, but also has an anti-inflammatory effect on the arterial wall. Bergamot is a great choice. And the product that I use is, I think it's called Bergamot HP or something like that. It's made by...
Yep.
Yeah, it's Thorne. Thorne makes that, I think. No, Orthomolecular makes that. I apologize.
Yes, in fact, I have it in front of me. I actually had ordered it, but I didn't know how long it would take for me because he wants to see a blood test.
Well, I tell you, in a story, you know, you just say to him, I don't care. I'm not going to take a statin. End of story. What are you going to do, fire me? You know, going to hit me over the head with a cudgel? I mean, That's it, you know, and it, you don't have to demonstrate to him that you're lowering your cholesterol because his premise is wrong. You are, in spite of the fact you have high cholesterol, you've demonstrated you have zero plaque. So forget about it, as they say in New Jersey. And if you, I mean, maybe the bergamot will lower your cholesterol a little bit, but your object here is to save your own life and protect yourself from the ravages of unnecessary medication, not to please your cardiologist. I mean, he's not, you know, your school teacher. He's not your daddy. You know, it's we have to get in kind of a different relationship with our doctors here when they're misinterpreting the facts. I mean, yes, we have to listen to doctors. They're educated. They're health authorities. But in this case, he's succumbing to, you know, cholesterol mania. And he's trying to fix the numbers on paper that have little relevance to an outcome for you. I mean, is that I'm trying to be perfectly clear about that. How long will it take for bergamot to work? I would give it like 6 weeks or a couple of months.
Okay.
I would take one twice daily and see if you get, you know, you might get a 10, 15, 20 point reduction in cholesterol. I've seen some patients where it doesn't work dramatically, and I've seen some patients where it works like, you know, high double-digit reductions in cholesterol, just remarkable improvements in cholesterol, especially when cholesterol is very high. So you may see an improvement, at which point, you know, you'll feel even more reassured that you're on the right path. Does that help?
That does help. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you.
I appreciate it for the moral support.
Yeah, you need moral support these days because sometimes, you know, get a little bit at odds with doctors because they're rigid in their thinking. And that's what this program hopefully provides you with a perspective on. All right. Some new think about the benefits of olives and olive oil and olive oil extract, which is available in certain supplements. Now, you know here that we're big fans of olive oil. We'll be talking about that in just a moment, a special offer to our listeners. But olives are beneficial for the heart, for the brain, reduce the risk of hypertension, diabetes. And now comes information that olive oil polyphenols may protect against osteoporosis. Yes, a Spanish research is showing that olive oil polyphenols, in particular one called oleoropein, it's kind of hard to pronounce, is helpful in terms of stemming the inflammation that results in bone loss. And according to studies, olive oil compounds may not only help to slow the progression of osteoporosis, they may actually help to restore bone. They say in this summary here, compounds in our diet possessing antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties, such as tocotrienol, that's one, curcumin, and omega-3 fatty acids, those are three that help, demonstrate promising bone protective effects. It's also been shown that adherence to a Mediterranean diet was associated with decreased fracture incidence. And so they studied olive oil polyphenols, and what they discovered is, lo and behold, olive oil polyphenols have the ability to reduce the risk of fracture. They studied this in rats. Diets supplemented with extra virgin olive oil for 80 days prevented the decrease of hip bone density in 6-month-old hysterectomized rats who had induced inflammation. So what they're saying here is that this too can be applicable to humans. And so, yes, take extra virgin, pure, artisanal olive oil that's rich in aromatic polyphenols, or take there are certain olive extract supplements, which I often give to my patients for cardiovascular disease prevention and for its anti-inflammatory effects. I'm going to begin to prescribe olive oil polyphenols for osteoporosis as a result of these new studies. And now to tell you about the special offer for our listeners, there's something called the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. They offer artisanal olive oils delivered kind of like a Wine of the Month Club. In this case, it's more of an Olive Oil of the Month Club. You've heard about it through our guest, T.J. Robinson, also known as the Olive Oil Hunter. Several times a year, he visits the world's top artisanal gold medal-winning small farms right at harvest time. And then he chooses the best oils of each harvest and rushes them to his club members by air and special delivery truck. And believe me, you never tasted olive oil so fresh or bursting with so much flavor. And that flavor is a signature for its high polyphenol content. If you're used to store-bought olive oils that are bland, well, you're missing out. TJ has a special offer for my audience. You can now try a bottle of his finest harvest fresh olive oil. It's normally $39 a bottle for just a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. That is a true statement. It is my favorite olive oil. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. And please note that at drhuffman.com, we're featuring recipes all this month. Wonderful olive oil recipes, ways that you can incorporate olive oil into delicious menus. And also keep in mind that if you opt to join the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club, you will be the recipient of beautiful gifts, because the olive oil that you receive, we always end up with too much for a small household, so we have extra. And it makes a great housewarming gift or a gift for friends and relatives. Sure beats a bottle of wine, in my opinion. Much healthier. Check out the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club at myfavoriteoliveoil.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our intelligent medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the intelligent medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. You can call us at 877-26-8255. That's 877-26-TALK. And lots of people have been availing themselves of the opportunity today, so thank you. Welcome to the latest edition of Doctors Behaving Badly. I've got a couple of stories here about doctors going off the rails. This one comes to us from England. A surgeon has pleaded guilty to marking his initials on the livers of two patients while performing transplant surgery. The way they found this out was a subsequent surgery was performed on a patient who'd had a liver transplant at Birmingham's Queen Elizabeth Hospital, and the operating surgeon spotted the initials SB on the patient's liver during this follow-up surgery. Well, SB, he knew well, could only stand for one of his fellow surgeons, Simon Bramhall. And this is kind of like Zorro, but with a laser. Remember Zorro? He makes the sign of the Z, Zorro, you know, this Walt Disney thing that I grew up with as a kid. And he would carve his initials with the tip of a sword on the chests of some of his some of the villains that he tracked down. He would make the sign of the Z. Well, in this case, this surgeon took a high-tech argon laser, normally used for staunching blood flow. You zap the little bleeding arteries with it. And he literally branded his patients with his initials. He signed his work. You know, just like, you know, Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, you know, he performed these masterpieces and he signed his work. So at any rate, he's in big trouble. And he's been charged criminally and he's resigned his position. They say it was, quote, an intentional application of unlawful force to a patient whilst anesthetized. Thus, it is a form of assault and battery, and therefore subject to legal action. Now, here's the ironic part. Following reports of Bramhall's suspension, his former patient, Tracy Scriven, told the Birmingham Mail that the surgeon should be immediately reinstated. She says, even if he did put his initials on my transplanted liver, is it really that bad? I wouldn't have cared if he did it to me. The man saved my life, she said. You know, so he was an expert surgeon, but got a little carried away. I mean, you know, surgical personalities, they sometimes are a little weird. Meanwhile, stateside, and this is a really bizarre case, a doctor had been dating a woman in Rochester, New York. The woman's name is Brooke Fisk. Dr. Sikander Imran, had been dating her on and off for about 3 years when she told him she was pregnant. Well, Dr. Imran had different ideas because he had just moved away. He just moved to Virginia from New York for a new job. And so he told Fisk that he wanted her to have an abortion. But she told him that wasn't what she wanted to do. So she was 7 weeks pregnant when she went to visit Imran to talk about how the two would raise their baby. And Dr. Imran offered her a cup of tea. When I was drinking my tea in the evening, I got to the bottom of the cup. There was a gritty substance in there. And when I looked at it, I could tell that it was a pill that had been ground up. Hours later, she began to have contractions. And Imran allegedly confessed that he'd put an abortion pill in her tea. He was taken into custody and charged with the cause of abortion and premeditated killing of a fetus. So a doctor's behaving badly. It happens all over the world. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and we'll take more of your phone calls momentarily, 877-726-8255. But before we do that, this study ought to rock the Lyme disease world to its foundations. Because let me frame the controversy. There are doctors, mostly conventional doctors, infectious disease specialists, who contend that when Lyme disease patients come to them after a course of antibiotic therapy, complaining of symptoms, that they no longer have Lyme disease, they have the aftermath of Lyme disease, that one round of antibiotics, potent antibiotics, is enough to cure the disease. And in fact, doctors have been brought up on charges. They've been professionally disciplined. They've been suspended. They've lost their licenses. They've been highly criticized by the establishment for maintaining that there is such a thing as persistent Lyme disease that may require multiple rounds of antibiotics sometimes given intravenously for months and years to eradicate the stubborn Lyme organisms. This is a big controversy. The battle lines are drawn around this. And so a new study suggests that maybe, just maybe, that initial round of antibiotics may not do the trick for a high percentage of patients who've been exposed to Lyme disease ticks. Headline: Living Lyme disease bacteria found months after antibiotic treatment. Okay, they did this study in primates, experimental monkeys. They infected them with Lyme disease, and then they treated them with antibiotics, and then they found out whether they still had Borrelia burgdorferi spirochetes in their bodies after the treatment. And they also checked to see whether tests that were designed to determine whether they had active Lyme disease could accurately predict whether the Borrelia had invaded vital organs such as the brain and heart. And here's what they found. In this study, we were able to observe the existence of microscopic disease, which would be difficult to, quote, see in humans, but could possibly be the cause of the variable and nonspecific symptoms that are characteristic of post-treatment Lyme disease syndrome. In other words, there were difficult to find, but verifiable bacteria that were present in some of these primates, even after a full course, 28 days of doxycycline treatment, which is the standard treatment for Lyme disease. That's what, you know, that's, I mean, they even extended it. First it was like 10 days, then 2 weeks, then 28 days, which is thought to be an aggressive treatment after initially contracting Lyme disease. So actually what they found was that all subjects treated with antibiotics were found to have some level of infection 7 to 12 months post-treatment, all of them. And forget Lyme disease testing, because despite testing negative by antibody tests for Lyme disease, that's what they say now. They say, well, if you test negative, you don't have it anymore. Well, in this case, these primates tested negative for Lyme disease, but 2 out of the 10 subjects were still infected with Lyme bacteria in their hearts and bladders. And the Lyme bacteria, which persist, didn't just persist, but they were viable. They were active, replicating microorganisms that could cause persistent symptoms of Lyme disease. So, you know, what they're saying, and this is really in a rather conservative scientific talk, they say, clearly some medical practices governing diagnosis and treatment of Lyme disease should be reconsidered in light of this study. This study shows that we must reevaluate the current paradigm of antibiotic response tests for diagnosis and move away from the one-size-fits-all approach to Lyme treatment. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That is really, really huge because you know, this really overturns our entire current paradigm for treatment and evaluation of Lyme disease, and suggests that those long-term sufferers, they're not just malingerers. Something's really going on, something serious, a deep-seated infection that is very, very hard to treat sometimes. Real, real medical challenge. Okay, we're going to take a call from one of our folks who recorded a question. If you go to drhoffman.com, on our homepage, if you're using a PC or Mac, you'll find a box on the right side. It's a rectangle. If you click on the rectangle, you can record a question, as Sarah did. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. I wanted to find out about when to take calcium and magnesium, or if they should be taken together. Years ago, I read on Dr. Hoffman's site, they use the same receptor cells. So we should take them apart, like 2 or 3 hours? Thank you.
Okay, that's a great question. And let's bring that knowledge forward, because it's long been suspected that calcium and magnesium can antagonize one another. And in fact, you know, there are drugs called calcium channel blockers. And in fact, magnesium is a bit of a calcium channel blocker. That's good because calcium channel blockers lower blood pressure, and that may be one of the reasons why magnesium blocks those calcium channels like a medication and lowers blood pressure. Magnesium is effective for lowering blood pressure. So the question then is, well, what if you take a CalMag supplement? Is the Cal and the Mag, they're going to, you know, neutralize each other? You won't absorb the calcium, you won't absorb the magnesium. And since I authored that article, there have been some studies where they actually use radio-labeled calcium. They tag the calcium with a radiation signature, and then they administer it with magnesium or without magnesium simultaneously. And what they found is that the absorption of that calcium and its incorporation into the bone is similar with or without the magnesium, that the magnesium doesn't prevent the absorption of the calcium. However, I do want to say something else on this subject, which is that there's now some controversy about whether calcium causes calcium deposits in the arteries. This has been pointed out by some studies, particularly in, I believe these studies are in New Zealand or Australia, where guys demonstrated that women who take high amounts of calcium are more prone to calcium in their arteries. And that's not good. I mean, here we are trying to prevent osteoporosis, and we, you know, develop another pretty serious medical condition, which is atherosclerosis, leading to cardiovascular disease and circulatory problems. So what this article states is that maybe calcium taken alone can do this. So in the old days, they said, well, you know, take Tums. Like, okay, Tums is pure calcium carbonate. And that was the end-all and be-all of osteoporosis prevention. You know, forget vitamin D, forget vitamin K, forget magnesium. Just take a lot of calcium because bones are mostly made of calcium. Well, that's an overly simplistic approach. And some of that calcium may end up not in the bones, but it may end up in the arteries. So this is true, that there is a potential risk. What they say here, in a review article that I'm looking at, which is from a journal called Open Heart in 2017, is that consideration should be given to the possibility that in some individuals, high supplemental intakes of calcium may disturb magnesium balance. Okay, so you take a lot of calcium without any magnesium, and you may lower your magnesium, and it may be the low magnesium that is responsible for the heart problems, the arrhythmias, diabetes, hypertension, metabolic syndrome, calcification of the arteries, that are not the result so much of too much calcium per se, but because the calcium blocks the magnesium. And therefore, they say here that what we ought to be doing is taking our calcium with magnesium. And the ideal ratio, they conclude, is about a 2-to-1 ratio. I would even propose a 1-to-1 ratio for some people, especially people who already have some evidence of cardiovascular risk. So for every 400 milligrams of calcium, elemental calcium, for example, they should be taking 400 milligrams of elemental magnesium. They say that the situation in Japan, based on the Japanese diet, which has a lot less calcium, they don't drink a lot of milk over there, the ratio of calcium to magnesium is about 1.7-to-1. In this country, the ratio calcium to magnesium about 3-to-1. And I propose that the ratio should be 2-to-1, or even lower, maybe 1.5, or in some cases 1-to-1, because magnesium is truly protective against cardiovascular disease. Now, by the way, magnesium may play an important role in prevention of the very self-same thing we use calcium for, which is osteoporosis. Yeah, magnesium is an important component of the bone. And if we just use calcium alone, we run the risk of putting too much calcium in our arteries and maybe shortchanging our bones as well. Don't forget vitamin D and vitamin K. Vitamin K may also play a role in directing calcium away from the arteries and towards the bone where it belongs. All right. When we return, we'll take more of your phone calls, hopefully, and lots more stuff to share with you on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com.
Ah, the pursuit of anti-aging. We diet, exercise, use the latest moisturizers, but did you know that dietary supplements can make a huge difference too? Our body's master antioxidant, glutathione, plays a significant role in the anti-aging process by helping to keep our strands of DNA healthy. At the end of our DNA strands are telomeres, little caps that protect our DNA and chromosomes. Over time, these caps can become frayed and cell aging accelerates. Anti-aging studies suggest that by boosting our body's glutathione levels, we can reduce telomere shortening and help protect our DNA. But since our glutathione levels decrease as we age, we need some help. RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable supplement that is transforming the future of anti-aging health and wellness. RegActive features ME3, which has over 20 years of research and is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in our body, helping to support our cellular and anti-aging health. RegActive is available on Amazon.com. That's REG-ACTIV.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Okay, in the remaining time for today's program, we're going to do kind of a lightning round on some of the important stories of the week. So here goes. First of all, does ginkgo biloba work? Well, you know, studies have been kind of back and forth on ginkgo biloba. Some studies suggesting yay and studies suggesting nay. We know that it's a circulatory enhancer. So what would be the effect of giving ginkgo biloba to stroke survivors? So those individuals already have compromised brain circulations, strong evidence of that by virtue of their stroke. So does it work for them? That would really be the acid test for efficacy of ginkgo biloba. Headline, ginkgo biloba may help boost memory and brain's command and control function after stroke. Looked at 348 people who had just suffered strokes. Everyone started their treatment of ginkgo biloba extract given in three doses, 450 milligrams of it, plus 100 milligrams of aspirin, or 100 milligrams of aspirin alone. So the group was both groups got aspirin, one group got ginkgo biloba extract. They all started within 7 days after being admitted to hospital after stroke. Their average age was 64. And what they found was that after 12, 30, 90, and 180 days, those given the combination treatment, including ginkgo, had higher scores for cognitive skills, including memory and executive function, than those given aspirin alone. So it really did make a difference. The vascular health of the trial participants was monitored. What they found was that 16 people in the combined treatment group had further problems. 20 in the aspirin treatment group had further problems. So there was even some protective effects against subsequent brain problems, some additional protection conferred by the ginkgo. So very cool study suggesting that, indeed, ginkgo can make a difference. Eating together. That's, one of those old homilies, getting together for the holidays, getting together at dinner time. These days we have very fragmented families where everybody eats different time schedules. And seldom does the family sit down at the table, with, knife, fork, actual plates and, TVs off, devices are not going. And people sit and have a, would you believe, a conversation. So what they say here, this University of Montreal study, children who routinely eat their meals together with their family are more likely to experience long-term physical and mental health benefits. They say we decided to look at the long-term influence of sharing meals as an early childhood family environment experience. And what they found was there was higher levels of general fitness and lower levels of soft drink consumption. Also, children seemed to have more social skills, and they were less likely to report being physically aggressive, oppositional, or delinquent at age 10. So, you know, whether it's, I don't know, maybe it's an association. Correlation is not necessarily causation, because already these kids are, you know, having family meals may be a sign of a better family dynamic. But nonetheless, there were both health, there are health benefits from both a mental and physical standpoint from having family meals. It's an institution that we really need to bring back, because people tend to eat better, eat less, and have social interaction, which is important. Okay. This new study is going to be very controversial, because in England, they are about to authorize fracking. And this study came out of a British newspaper. Babies born less than 2 miles from a fracking site are at risk of health problems that could hamper them later in life. Fracking, a controversial practice. What they found is these babies were more likely to be born at low birth weight, less than 5.5 pounds. And those who lived within 1 kilometer of a fracking site had a 25% increase in the likelihood that a child would be born at a low birth weight. Now, what's missing here is a mechanism of action. Is it pollution? Or is it simply an association that perhaps those who live close to a fracking site maybe live in areas that are more disadvantaged? I mean, after all, if they're, you know, you live near a fracking site, you know, probably you're not living in, you know, Bel Air or Westchester or Hyannis. You know, it's one of the Silicon Valley, one of the fancy neighborhoods. They tend to adopt a sort of a NIMBY attitude, not in my backyard. And so it's possible that this is just an association of socioeconomic circumstances, that poorer people live closer to fracking sites and thus more likely to give birth to low birth weight babies. But maybe we ought to be investigating what's in the air, what's in the water. Is there a pollution effect? This is a peculiar study because it suggests that drinking hot tea every day is linked to a lower glaucoma risk. What's interesting about the study is that hot tea drinkers were 74% less likely to have glaucoma, but no such associations were found for other caffeinated beverages, coffee, for example, soft drinks, or even iced tea. And, oh, by the way, the tea that was hot had to be caffeinated, because if it was decaffeinated, it didn't confer the anti-glaucoma benefits. You'd think glaucoma would raise your pressure. Well, in this case, it lowers intraocular pressure, according to this big study. So, yeah, tea polyphenols have many benefits. This item, increased air pollution is linked to bad teenage behavior. And the thought is that these tiny toxic particles in the air may creep into developing brains, causing inflammation, and may damage brain pathways responsible for emotion and decisions. Another serious consequence of our polluted environment. So let's, you know, whether global warming is happening or not, we need to keep our environment clean for the sake of our bodies and our brains and for our developing kids. Well, that's all the time we have for today's program. Remember, you can become a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine by checking out our website, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, subscribe to our newsletter, and download our podcasts. Thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a great holiday. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Mom, my nose is stuffy. Can I have some Clear?
Sure, honey. Wow, your child actually asks for nasal spray? My kids hate the chemical taste.
Well, this isn't a chemical spray. This is Clear.
Clear?
Yep, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R. It's the natural nasal spray made with xylitol. It has no chemicals, so it's perfect for my whole family.
How does it work?
Naturally. One spray is all it takes.
My kids ask for it because they know it works fast and they even like the taste.
All done.
Do you feel better?
Yep. Thanks, Mom.
Why hasn't my doctor talked to me about Clear? Good question.
Made with xylitol, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, is the natural nasal spray that's perfect for adults and 100% safe for kids. Clear alleviates congestion caused by colds, allergies, flus, and pollen and dander. One spray is all it takes to keep your entire family clean and clear. So ask for Clear by name. That's X-L-E-A-R at fine retailers like CVS, Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, Sprouts, and Kroger's. Or find a retailer near you at clear.com.